Dr. Aidan Buckley is a cardiologist at Wexford General Hospital. A warm-hearted, friendly guy who loves his rugby, likes a pint, is a member and mentor to Glyn Barntown GAA Club. A family man who came to Wexford from Cork, but who's embraced County Wexford more than he could have ever imagined. A man full of energy. But nothing energises him more than the cardiac service problems that he and his colleagues are encountering. Interventional cardiac services that provide treatment for acute and chronic heart disease, catheterisation laboratories, or cath labs as they are known, are unequally spread across the country. The South East has one cath lab catering for over 500,000 people. The demand is huge. The supply is simply not able to cope. The situation is getting more and more serious. Recently, we spent a working day with Dr. Aidan Buckley, travelling between Wexford and Waterford with Access All Areas. When we met on a windy May morning, he had just been the bearer of bad news to a patient's family.
Just been speaking to a family there and breaking some bad news to a patient about a bad diagnosis and that has serious implications for them, you know. So I had to go through things, obviously, and explain the outcome and what the plan is, etc. And I suppose no matter how long you do this for, and I've been doing this for nearly 30 years, it doesn't get any easier. When you give someone news like that, it's a life-changing event for them, for their family, for all their loved ones. Understandably, the person is devastated.
On Tuesdays, Aidan Buckley spreads his day between Wexford and Waterford hospitals. But first, he must check up on his in-house Wexford patients.
We're going up to St. Patrick's Ward now, which is primarily designated as a surgical ward. But the reality is a lot of the patients in it are medical patients. Bit of pain on the left side there, Pat, is it?
No, it's. I don't know where it's coming from at all. It was I got sampled by the hospital.
That's right,
Just had an x-ray and I thought that was just
But you were getting a bit of pain on that side, were you? Is that why you went for the x-ray originally?
No, it was just, it was through an examination. Blood pressure's up a bit.
But have you had much enjoying at all? When you walked now, for example?
I was until I went on the Isomet and he changed it to
Isomet. Isomet helped, did it?
Great ever since.
So you're back doing what you were normally doing before and that, yeah?
Get me walks in and what have you.
Good man. I have a little listen there if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah.
Any soreness or pain on the left side now when I press, no?
No.
Did you smoke before, Pat, did you?
I did, yeah.
When did you give him up?
Nearly 20 years ago.
All right. So look, there was an area on the chest actually that just needs to be further evaluated there, Pat, okay? We've organised for you to have a CAT scan on that.
Okay. I believe, yeah.
If everything is okay in that, you'll be able to skedaddle.
That's great.
All right, you're not coughing or any no phlegm coming up, no?
I always had a little chest problem, and I do get a bit of phlegm up in the morning, but not too much.
Normally it's a bit of a scramble on Tuesdays, as I come in, we normally have a meeting first thing on a Tuesday, fly around and try and see any outstanding problems that might arise, talk to my team about plans for the patients that we have in, how we're managing them, how we get them home, etc. Then travel to Waterford where I do a CAT session down there. Now essentially what we do down there is we're doing coronary angiography, pacemaker implantation, primarily on Wexford patients. Tuesday tends to be the Wexford day, if you like, in Waterford now. But it's a mix and gather. There could be patients from Waterford on the list. There could be patients from Kilkenny or from Tip as well. It's whoever is there, we'll do them, you know.
As we prepare to head to Waterford University Hospital, Aidan Buckley outlines the seriousness of the situation.
What we do in Waterford in particular is invasive work, and you certainly say a silent prayer to yourself that that everything goes well. You know, I mean, you don't want to harm any patient. These are invasive procedures we're doing on people, and you would ultimately hope that you'll be doing some good. As you've probably been aware, with the service in Waterford that we've been trying to provide has been under a lot of threat, under resourced. I suppose it has outstripped. Or the demand has far outstripped what's available there, you know. So we have a scenario now, Alan, where many patients are sitting in the wards beside you here waiting for weeks, and I mean weeks, to go down for angiography to Waterford. It's an ongoing issue here for us, you know, how we get access for invasive cardiological procedures for Wexford patients.
Cardiology is Aidan Buckley's main profession, but the demands on his time are many.
Anybody that comes in under the medical service will come under you every 7 to 9. So that could be anything. It could be chest problems, neurology, gastroenterology problems. A lot of the work that we would do is pretty what we call general medical stuff. That's the husband of that lady.
Yeah, that's the reality, isn't it?
That's the reality, yeah. And as I say, you've just given them life-changing news, you know.
Aidan was clearly moved to seeing the reaction of the relative of the person to whom he had given the bad news. Coming up to 9:30 a.m, we arrive at Waterford University Hospital.
Busy environment, as you can see, this main corridor here now, there's lots of noise. People get very nervous coming to, very smell of hospitals for lots of people is enough to put them off. But they're busy, vibrant places as well, you know, and there's always lots happening. So you can see this, all human life is here, as you can see, passing up and down. You know, there's patients, there's relatives, there's a...
This is noticeably quieter.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of an oasis in here. This is, let's change.
This is the perception people have of an emergency coronary care situation. The reality is somewhat different. The cath lab in Waterford is a calm, controlled environment where everyone has a role and teamwork is of the essence.
This is the main control room area in here, so the monitoring equipment is all here. So this is the ECG monitors, the technicians are sitting here. The console is monitoring the ECG and the pressure tracings. This is the X-ray equipment that we're using. So they're taking the pictures here. My colleague inside, Dr. Solomon, is taking pictures of some heart arteries, checking for any blockages. Tom is a radiographer. He's operating the camera. You can see there beside it, it's moving around, taking pictures from different angles. And Ralph is the scrub nurse in here. He's monitoring the patient, keeping an eye on vital signs, etc. And if anything needs to be done with this patient now, he'll scrub in, or now that I'm here, I'll scrub in as well, you know. There's a phone over in the wall there, you see. And that if that goes off, that means there's an acute heart attack coming in, what we call a STEMI AMI. In other words, somebody who's collapsed with an acute heart attack. So they could be brought directly here from Wexford or from Kilkenny or from South Tip or from Waterford. And they're usually very sick when they come in, and we need to open their artery up fairly quickly. The major part of our work is the patient, like this lady who comes in with chest pain. You know, she may not have had a heart attack, but she needs investigation. As things stand at the moment, because of lack of capacity here in this lab, patients in Wexford, patients in Waterford, patients in South Tip are waiting up to 2 weeks for their inpatient angiogram. Sitting in a bed, waiting for their angiogram, and all that entails in that, you know. Totally, totally unacceptable. I've been trying to make a case and trying to persuade people that there's a prima facie case for a second cath lab here. It's pretty self-evident to us. Yeah. You'll be familiar with the Herity report that came out that said that there wasn't a second cath lab necessary for the southeast. We would utterly and completely refute that. Yes. We see it every day, Alan. We see these patients waiting for weeks and end for their angiograms. I don't really care what the Herity report says, quite frankly. I see the evidence with my own eyes.
Dr. Solomon is a cardiologist originally from Eritrea. He describes the finding on his most recent procedure, a middle-aged woman with heart problems, and he sets the scene for the next complicated procedure.
After this PCI, I did another angiogram. In fact, it is on a patient who had bypass before. So you have to get the native arteries and also the bypass grafts. That takes longer time, so we finished that one, and I'm going to write a report. And while I'm writing the report, the next patient is on the table and we go and continue doing this next procedure. You know, a patient will be on the table at 9 o'clock. but we have to come before that and we have to do all the setups, and then we carry on the whole day. There is no break. If everything went well and if we finish on time, maybe 5, 5:30, but sometimes they may extend up to 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. If there is a patient on the table, we can't stop. We have to finish the job and we have to continue until we finish. This is the artery which was blocked and causing the acute heart attack, which we opened it and we fixed it at that time. And there is another artery which is completely blocked and we bring him back today to open that one. So this was the artery which was blocked. This is the wire. And the artery is now, you can see the blood flow start. We don't give general anesthesia. It is just only local anesthetic at the site of entry and a small dose of sedation to relax the patient.
Tom is a radiographer working closely with the cardiologists. As I stand beside him, we're heavily lead padded to protect against radiation. Adele is the nurse in charge, looking after the patient's welfare and guarding his pain threshold.
Well, under the direction of the cardiologists, I'll be moving the X-ray machine to manipulate the images of the heart. Just different. In order to view the arteries, you have to get different angles, different views to see all the anatomy clearly.
Yeah.
This particular procedure that this gentleman is having is called a CTO-PCI, where he's a complete total occlusion of one of his coronary arteries. So they are just trying to pass the wire, the small wire, through this particular narrowing in his coronary artery. The stenting then is part of the procedure where we'd pass a stent up on through that small wire and inflate it and keep it in place.
The procedure is proving extremely difficult. The blocked artery is simply not opening.
It's a chronically occluded, chronically blocked vessel. It's blocked a long time. And we're just trying to get it open there, but it's proving remarkably resistant. So we're just changing some kit here to give ourselves a slightly better chance of getting across the narrowing. But if this doesn't work out, we may have to accept that it's unlikely to be opened.
Finally, 2 hours into the procedure, a breakthrough.
A bit of progress with the new piece of kit. We've actually got the wire across the blockage. So now we want to see whether a balloon will go down over that wire or not to try and reopen the artery completely. But fingers crossed, getting the wire across the blockage is normally the hardest part of the job. And it was a bit of a struggle there, as you could probably see. Yeah.
So the procedure has moved along. So where are we now?
Putting in a stent balloon in the actual obstructed vessel that we've been trying to, that's the objective of the whole procedure, to get this the stent into this part of the left coronary artery.
Thomas probably explained to you there, we've made a bit of progress here. We've actually got the artery open, so it's been a slow and fairly tortuous process, as you can see, but we're now seeing if we can get some stents to pass down there to keep the artery open. It's like a scaffolding to keep it open. So we're going to do that now. And fingers crossed again.
We often hear of stenting. But what is a stent? How does it work? Ralph told us how.
It's mounted on a balloon. It's a hollow tube, kind of with a mesh in appearance. Hmm. Almost like a bit of pipe. How the artery is actually opened is... when they find the narrowing, they balloon open the narrowing first. They take out that balloon, and then the stent itself is placed where the narrowing was, and then it's deployed off a balloon. Okay.
Okay.
This keeps the blood flowing, provided the patient takes certain medications, because of the appearance of the stent, the blood is flowing past it. And the blood tries to, when your blood is flowing through the stent, it, because it's not smooth in appearance, it feels like it needs to clot off.
Right.
So you need to be on certain medications to prevent clotting.
We're now with two stents in. I probably need a third, possibly a fourth, but we'll see when we get the third one in. Getting the artery open is, in a sense, the difficult bit, but sometimes you can run into trouble by getting the stents to travel down the artery that's been blocked for perhaps years in some cases. So, but thankfully now two of the stents have gone in and looks quite nice. This has been particularly difficult technically, but it's all gone well in every other respect, no great concerns.
James' procedure has been a success. It's taken over 2.5 hours.
Good Friday, I had a heart attack. I was brought in here, and the people that were just working on me today, I think they did the job on me then as well. They put two stents in. Yeah. They found that three of my arteries were blocked, and so they did two immediately there. I was brought in by ambulance from Wexford Hospital. Did a great job of me. The work that I saw being done, I mean, talk about multitasking. God, put the rest of us to shame, I think.
Okay, so he's coming from Southchip General Hospital. Great.
Did it?
We'll be here in a half an hour. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, bye bye.
So, Aoife, what's actually happened there now is here we are at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and there is an emergency on its way.
That's right. Yeah, we just got a call about a man who has a pericardial synthesis. So he'll be here in a half an hour from Southchip General Hospital. So these emergencies come through every now and again, but like, you know, we're not going to turn away somebody who's in so sick. It's quite a serious condition, having fluid, an accumulation of fluid around the heart. So we'll wait and see how he is when he gets here.
The patient duly arrives, and Dr. Aidan Buckley, whose day has begun many hours ago, begins the procedure.
We're going to do a drainage procedure on the collection of fluid under ultrasound and x-ray control. So what we're going to do is put a needle in to the heart, into the space, and drain that fluid out. And we would hope that we'll be able to help this man and make his breathing easier.
And so the working day ends. As Dr. Solomon and Dr. Aidan Buckley and I digest the events of the day, the one thing we've not digested is food. So busy have both cardiologists been, they've not had time to eat.
To be fair, it was quite busy, and I'd normally grab something between cases, but we were just busy today, as you saw.
And Dr. Solomon, if that phone call had come after 5 o'clock here today, you would not have been able to treat him, would you? The call came at 4, you're still here at 6, so ultimately the time frame that you're working in is simply not good enough.
Sometimes when we're in the cath lab, and if a patient is in distress in this hospital, we take them even at 5 o'clock. But if there is a call coming at 5 o'clock, the arrangement is the patient has to go to Cork or to Dublin, which is not ideal. As you have seen, this patient, his blood pressure was dropping near zero, and to transfer him to Dublin or to Cork is not ideal.
And what I can tell you definitively is that people are not accessing treatment in time, in a timely fashion. And, you know, that has adverse consequences for patients. You know, and that, I don't think anybody would dispute that.
The drive home from Waterford was pleasant. A stop off for coffee in the Yorkie Bar. We talked of football and hurling, of Davy Fitz, of the CBS Wexford soccer team. We took the ferry to get home earlier. When we reached Wexford, the clock said 8:30 p.m. We shook hands. But as we said goodbye, we both agreed the fight for an extra cath lab in the southeast wasn't over. In fact, it was just beginning.